Let's turn to our Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 66, right through to verse 71. John 6, 66, 7 verse 1. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father in heaven, how we praise thy holy name. Thou art the living and true God, the creator of heaven and earth. And we thank thee and praise thee for thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent into this world to die for our sins on the cross, to shed his precious blood. And we thank thee, O Lord, that he is alive today. And indeed, today is also Resurrection Sunday. And we thank thee, Lord, for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the grave. Indeed, this is a historical fact, and no one can deny it. He is not here, but risen, as the angel said. And Lord, we thank thee that we have a risen Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is now in heaven as our great high priest, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our mediator. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank thee, Lord, that you have been so merciful to us, that you have revealed thy truth to us, and we know the good news of salvation in Christ. You have saved us from our sins. We have tasted of thy goodness. We have experienced thy love. We have experienced thy power in our lives. And day by day, you are transforming us to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And we look forward, O Lord, to the day when Jesus returns to take us home. For this world is not our home. We are just a passing through. And we look forward to the day of resurrection. We look forward to the day when we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we know that the coming of the Lord is very soon. Considering the signs of the times, the days are truly evil, O Lord. And we pray that in our life here on earth, we may lead a life that is godly and holy, and always mindful of the return of the Lord, so that our minds and our hearts will not be on the affections of this world. Help us, Lord, not to be materialistic, not to pursue the things of this world, but to live a life that is pleasing in thy sight, a life that will be prepared when you come at any moment. And so, Lord, we pray that you may grant us thy grace to hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by preaching the good news to our loved ones, to our relatives, to our friends, to our colleagues, to our classmates, even to strangers. And so, Lord, even at this time, when the gospel is being attacked, thy children should more and more believe and to defend the true gospel and to preach it so that others might know the truth, and the truth shall surely make them free. Father, we pray for peace in our country, We thank thee for the peace and the prosperity that we enjoy. And these gifts that you have given to us, we pray you may help us to use them to further thy kingdom. We pray for continued freedom of religion so that we may worship thee freely. We pray for all those in government and in power that they will rule this country lawfully and fairly. And Lord, we also thank thee and praise thee for how you have established and have built and have used True Life Bible Presbyterian Church to save many souls, to bring to the truth, to bring the truth to many hearts, that they might be blessed with the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might know that truly we have the Word of God in our hands without any error, and we might boldly proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord, for it is written." And Lord, we commit also all members of this church into thy hands. Keep us, Lord, from all evil. Preserve us until the last day. And we pray for all those who are ill and sick and bedridden. We pray, O Lord, that thy mighty hand might heal them. For thou art a God of miracles, and you can heal us even now with thy miraculous hand. And so, Lord, we pray for our beloved pastor, that even in his old age, he is faithfully serving thee. May you honor his faith, and may you heal him, and may you grant him strength in his body, that he might be raised up to minister to us once again by thy word. And we pray also for Elder Mahadevan, that you might be close to him as well, and have mercy to heal him also. And all those who are ill and sick, we pray, although we do not mention their names, but you know them one by one, you know them by name. And we pray also for them, that you might touch them and comfort them and encourage them at this difficult time of suffering. O Lord, we also pray for the FEBC students who are going through an exam period this week. We pray, O Lord, you will help them in their studies, help them to remember all the lessons that they have learned, and help them to faithfully answer the questions that are given to them, that they might remember thy truth and prepare themselves to serve thee faithfully in the future. We pray, O Lord, for the coming daily vacation Bible college at the FEBC. We thank thee, Lord, for the safe arrival of our visiting professor, Dr. Paul E. Tan. May you grant him thy grace and bless him with good health and strength, and fill him with thy spirit as he prepares to minister to us, not only in the college, but also in the church. So, Lord, we thank thee for this hour of looking into thy word, and guide us into thy truth. We need thee, O Lord. We need the faith that comes from above. We need the truth that comes from thy word. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. So we commit this time into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have heard about the Gospel of Judas. And some of you might have even seen the documentary shown by the National Geographic Society. Has your faith been shaken? It is said that the Gospel of Judas is going to change the way Christians look at their Bible. Christians will no longer look at their Bible as the literal Word of God. Is this true of true lifers? Will we begin to question and doubt the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word? The Gospel of Judas and all the other Gnostic Gospels strike at the very heart of Christianity. For they attack the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they attack the written Word, the Holy Scriptures that we have in our hands today. Are we going to question God? Are we going to doubt His word? Will our perspective of the Bible change because of this gospel that is recently discovered? May we not trust in things that are new, but in things that are old. This good old book and this good old faith that is given to us, preserved for us, and we know whom we have believed. This Savior that we have believed in, the Lord Jesus Christ, can be trusted. He is the true God, and we have the true word. And those of us who are born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, born from above, born from heaven, will be able to know the truth and know it thoroughly, know it sufficiently, so that we will not be shaken in our faith. For the Spirit in our hearts, who indwells us, is the Spirit of truth that guides us into all truth. And if you ask, what is truth? The Bible tells us that God's word is truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And if we are truly believers, born again Christians, Jesus said, we are His sheep. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. We are able to recognize the voice of our Savior. A stranger's voice we will not follow. And the Lord says His sheep will be able to discern His good voice of truth. And the strange voice of falsehood we will reject. Are we able to discern the voice of our God, the voice of our Savior? I'm sure those of us who have His truth in our hearts, in our minds, who has the Holy Spirit living within us, can tell truth from error. And the gospel of Judas is falsehood. It is error. It is heresy. And so this morning, let me critique the gospel of Judas according to the text that has been released by the National Geographic Society. And I would like to offer three reasons why this gospel, called the Judas Gospel, is a fictitious and a spurious gospel. First reason is the Gospel of Judas is a heretical gospel. Now, the Gospel of Judas begins like this. It says, in the very first sentence, the secret account of the revelation that Jesus spoke in conversation with Judas Iscariot. It's called the secret account. In other words, no one knows about this truth, except for Judas Iscariot. Only Judas knows the truth. And now Judas is telling us what really happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He came to be crucified. Now, the Bible tells us that for truth to be established, to be confirmed, there must be two or three witnesses. But insofar as the Gospel of Judas is concerned, it is only the testimony of Judas, so-called. No one else knows. No other testimonies to confirm, right, what the Judas Gospel is trying to say. And right at the very outset, this tells us that the gospel of Judas cannot be believed. It is a false gospel. God not only gives us His word, He confirms His word by many testimonies. The word of God is not secret. It is revealed. It is opened. It's for all of us to know. And so far as the gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned, it is given to us, written plainly in the scriptures, in the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We do not have two gospels or three gospels, we have four gospels. And they all agree with one another. But insofar as the gospel of Judas, so-called, and Judas, you know, the title is rather misleading. It says it's the gospel of Judas. No, Judas wrote no gospel. Someone else wrote this gospel. We don't know who he was. One of the Gnostic writers. And he conveniently put the name of Judas over there. There's only one gospel of Judas. And did Judas give his testimony? No. In fact, this gospel of Judas was written long after Judas had died. Judas gave no such testimony. Here we have a story that has been invented by the Gnostics to attack the Christian faith, to attack the truth of God's word, to attack the pure gospel. And there's no other gospel that can corroborate or confirm the gospel of Judas. It stands by its own, right? And because it stands on its own, it cannot be believed. For every word must be confirmed and established by two or three witnesses. And we know that our gospels, the gospels that we have in our canonical scripture, is true because we have four of them. And they all agree. They confirm to us the truth of what really happened in the life of Christ. So please take note of this. And even if you compare the Gospel of Judas with the other Gnostic Gospels, there are also other Gnostic Gospels. For example, the Gospel of Thomas. And you find that, you know, these Gospels, the Gnostic Gospels, do not agree among themselves. They contradict. And that's another evidence that they are spurious. They are false. And I'm going to show you one example later on. So this is a Gnostic gospel, the gospel of Judas. What is Gnosticism? And who were the Gnostics? Well, the word Gnostic comes from the Greek word ginosko. And ginosko means to know. So Gnosticism tells of secret knowledge, right? It promotes a secret knowledge for salvation. It was a second century cult which used the name of Christ to spin a heretical brand of Christianity that teaches these three things, among other things. Number one, the Gnostics teach that salvation requires one to obtain secret knowledge that is outside of the Bible. Okay? And this knowledge, the secret knowledge, is only for a privileged elite, not for all. Okay. The second thing that they teach is that all matter is evil. Right. And the third thing they teach is Jesus did not really come in the flesh. Is this what the Bible teaches? Of course not. Because the truth, the knowledge of God's word, the knowledge of the truth is open to all. God wants us to know who He is. And the Bible reveals all the truth of God for our salvation. We don't need to seek any secret knowledge. And those of you who have attended the 1 John class, we have seen the relevant passages in 1 John that tells us this. We have an anointing, an unction from the Holy One, from above. And we know all things. Right? We know all things. So we don't need to seek for secret knowledge. And we know also that God has not only saved our spirit, He has also saved our body. The resurrection is a physical one, not a spiritual one. And we know that one day when we die, right, our souls, our spirits will be in heaven. But when the Lord Jesus comes, we will be resurrected. And those who are still alive when Jesus comes will be caught up, raptured, to meet the Lord in the air. Gnosticism does not teach any such resurrection. Okay? And we know also that Jesus truly came in the flesh. He was full and perfect humanity. He lived with us. He talked with us. He was flesh. He was filled with blood. He had bones. And he died on the cross truly for our sins as our perfect sacrifice. Not only was he 100% man, he was also 100% God in one person, our perfect Savior. So the gospel of Christianity is really no secret, but clearly revealed in the written word of God, the 66 books of the canonical scriptures. And John, in his gospel, the gospel of John, wrote this: "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And the written word of God reveals to us the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the written word that we have in our hands today is sufficient for us to know how to find salvation in Christ, the only Savior of the world. So what is the gospel? The word gospel simply means good news. And what is this gospel? What is this good news? Paul tells us what is the good news. And the good news is all about Christ and what he has done for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, Paul defined what is the gospel. He wrote, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory," don't forget the gospel that you have believed in, that has changed your life and has given you meaning, right, and victory and hope in life. Don't forget the gospel that you had originally received that has changed your life. And Paul reminded the Corinthian Christians, "Don't forget the gospel which I preached to you in the beginning, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Christ crucified and resurrected according to the Scriptures." The Word of God which we have in our hands today is the gospel, is the truth, is the good news. Don't seek for any other good news that come today. And really the gospel, so-called, of the gospel of Judas is not good news, it is really bad news. Because in the gospel of Judas, Jesus is presented as not God at all, not Savior. And that this word that you hold in your hands, that you read, is not the truth at all. It is another gospel. The knowledge of the gospel is not far from us. In fact, it is very near us. The Gnostic Gospels tell us that you must seek for secret knowledge that's out there, but precisely where we cannot tell and we do not know. And they give a very confusing message. They say you must have this secret knowledge. And when you know, it means you don't know. And when you don't know, it means you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? They say, if you understand, it means you don't understand. If you don't understand, it means you understand. They have this dualistic kind of a philosophy that is so mysterious and so esoteric, no one can know, no one can find. Only a privileged few, the privileged elite, will know. Well, the Bible tells us, you don't have to seek the truth and you don't have to find true knowledge from outside. It's not hidden out there in the world or in the cosmos. But the truth is found right here in the Word of God that we can read for ourselves. This book that we can open with our hands. And the words are plain. And the words tell us where true knowledge resides. And who the living and true God is. And who is our true Savior. And so the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10 verse 8 and 9. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Right? It's very near you. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But the Gnostics, what do? They add to the gospel. They say it's not enough for you, right, to have the Bible or to believe the Bible or to believe the gospel of the Bible. There must be more. There's something more. They say gospel plus secret knowledge equals salvation. That is their salvation formula or equation. Gospel plus secret knowledge equals salvation. Now, when you add anything to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes a false gospel. It becomes another gospel, a heretical gospel. And the Apostle Paul already warned anyone who adds to the purity of the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, dying for our sins, was buried on the third day, rose from the grave. According to the scriptures, anyone adds to this gospel, let him be accursed. Anathema. And for us, when we are bombarded with all these bad news, right, against the word of God, against the gospel, let us not be shaken in our faith. I mean, the gospel of Judas has the potential, has that effect on us. When we begin to doubt and question, right, our faith will become shaken. But let us not be shaken in our faith, but stand steadfast on the original gospel that you had first heard and received and believed in, and which has changed your life. And the Galatian Christians in those days were also being attacked by all these heretics, say that, oh, it's not enough just to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to add works in order to be saved. And that is, and the gospel of works is also another gospel. And Paul chided the Galatian believers in Galatians 1, verse 6 to 9. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Just like we have people troubling us today. All these enemies of Christ and his word, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Yes, the Judas gospel is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be anathema, cursed by God. And the Judas gospel is one such gospel. Preaches another gospel. That's why we reject it. Second reason why we reject the gospel of Judas is because it presents a different Jesus. It has a different Jesus. You know, when you read the gospel of Judas, you find a Jesus that likes to laugh a lot. Right? A laughing Jesus. He laughs at his disciples when they say grace. He laughs at his disciples when they ask questions. He laughs before he speaks. He laughs after he speaks. And the word laugh in the Gospel of Judas occurs 8 times. Now, when we compare this with the Jesus of the New Testament, the word laugh
only occurs two times in the New Testament, and that only in the Gospel of Luke. It doesn't talk about Jesus laughing, but Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 6:21, says this, "Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." Right? Yes, we weep now. We weep for our sins. We weep because of the many trials and testings of life. We weep because of the many sufferings that we go through. But we have hope in Christ, and one day we will rejoice, right? When the Lord finally comes back and take us home. For ye shall laugh, right? Ye shall laugh. In the future. We don't laugh right now. We will laugh in the future. When our redemption is full and complete and perfected in Christ. In Luke 6:25, Jesus warned, those who laugh now, right, will weep later. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. And Jesus sets the example. When he was on earth, he did not come to have a jolly good time. He was not the laughing Jesus that we read in the Gospel of Judas. Jesus was a man that was full of sorrows. In Isaiah 53 verse 3, we read that he is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That was the Jesus that we have in the Scriptures. He came to suffer for us. He came to suffer, to bleed, and to die for us, that we might be saved. He was a man of sorrows, a suffering Savior. But in the Gospel of Judas, you don't find him. All right, such a Savior. But he likes to laugh a whole lot. A different Jesus altogether. And in the Judas Gospel, we also find a Jesus that is not the Creator, but a creature. Jesus is not Creator, but a creature like you and me, a created being. And in the Gospel of Judas, the disciples referred to Jesus not as the Son of God, that is God Himself, but as the Son of our God. Right? The Son of our God. Jesus, and Jesus also Himself says, "My God is different from your God," He tells His disciples. So in the Gospel of Judas, you find many gods, a doctrine of many gods. Now the Bible tells us that there's but one living and true God, the invisible God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, only one God. But in the Gospel of Judas, we are taught that there are many gods. Okay? And Jesus teaching that there are many gods and He's but one of the gods. And the God that the disciples worship is not the same God, it's a different God. So the Gnostics teach that there are many gods and many levels of divinity. And the highest level is pure spirit. And this is typical of Gnostic thinking. And they say that Jesus, since he is in the flesh, right, Jesus must be evil. And could not have come from the Supreme God, who is pure spirit. So, where did Jesus come from? Well, Judas is the one who has the answer. And Judas identified who Jesus was in the Judas Gospel. In the Gospel of Judas, Judas tells Jesus, "I know who you are and where you come from. You are from the immortal realm of Babelo." Say, what is Babelo? Well, Babelo is one of the inferior Gnostic gods from the lower levels of the immortal realm. And Jesus himself confesses to Judas that he is not God, but one of the 12 angels. One of the 12 angels created by God. Jesus is the first of the 12 angels, who is Seth, and he is also named Christ. Okay. Because this is pure nonsense. The truth is this. The truth is Jesus is God Himself. the creator of the world. In the very first verse of the Gospel of John, John 1 verse 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. And then verse 3 tells us that this Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, created this world. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And this Word, the invisible God, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so in the Gospel of Judas, we find a totally different Jesus altogether. A Jesus that is evil, Jesus who is not God, Jesus that is not full of grace and truth, but the Jesus of the Bible and the flesh of Jesus, not at all sinful. It is pure and clean and perfect. And Jesus is full of grace and truth. He is the Son of God, God Himself. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 we are told, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And the mystery of godliness is not something hidden or secret, but something that is revealed to us in Christ's Word. For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. And John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only or uniquely begotten Son. Jesus was not created. He is the only uniquely begotten Son of God. And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why we reject the Gospel of Judas. It is bad news because it presents a different Jesus altogether. Okay? A Jesus that doesn't save. The third reason why we reject the Gospel of Judas is because the Judas Gospel is a false text. The Judas Gospel is one of the many Gospels, many of these false Gospels written by the Gnostics. Now, how many Gnostic Gospels are there? Some say 15, some say 30, some say 80. The experts do not even agree on how many of these Gnostic Gospels there are. But we who are believers, who are Christians, recognize and know that there are but four Gospels, the canonical Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which the believers received from the beginning, when it was first written down and read to them, and they receive these Gospels as the truth of God's Word, as divinely inspired Scriptures, right through the decades, right through the centuries, right through the millennia. All true and faithful believers have received these Gospels as the Word of God. And so our canon is fixed. We have only 66 books of the Bible, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, and only four Gospels. And they are fixed. You don't subtract from them, you don't add to them. And they have been faithfully received by the church. But the Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown, which promotes the Gnostic Gospels of Nag Hammadi, which is a place in Egypt where they found all these false texts and false Gospels, just like the Alexandrian manuscripts underlying the modern versions of the Bible, is found in Egypt. In those days, they had corrupted the Scriptures. The people in Egypt have invented false Gospels. And these heretics in those days also doctored the true Gospels and changed them so that today in many of these modern versions of the Bible that is based upon the Alexandrian manuscripts, corrupted manuscripts, have missing verses, missing words, and even changed the words of Scriptures to make Jesus not as God. That's why in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, We read in 1 Timothy 3:16 that God was manifest in the flesh. But in many of these modern versions, based upon the corrupted Alexandrian manuscripts, the word God is taken out and replaced by He. And that undermines the deity of Christ. He appeared in a body. It's just He. Jesus is not God. Well, it shows a corrupted hand in those days. And so here we have these Gnostic Gospels, which are really false Gospels. They are false manuscripts that the church had long rejected, right? Thrown into the garbage bin, now to be picked up by all these unbelievers and modernists and atheists and promoted as the true Gospels. It cannot be. And of course, the question is this: how can we know for sure that the four Gospels are true, right? The genuine and the authentic Gospels, and not the Gnostic Gospels like the Judas Gospel? How do we know for sure? Well, we know for sure because of doctrine, of the truth that is taught in God's Word. And Christians had long had the answers to these attacks against the Word of God. And the doctrine that really would keep us and hold us fast and firm in our faith are the doctrines of the verbal plenary inspiration, right, of the Scriptures, and the verbal and plenary preservation of the Scriptures. God not only breathed out His words in the very beginning, in the original languages, but these same words that God breathed out have been kept pure by Him, so that no words will be lost. His words will never be corrupted. And every generation will always have His words. And we can identify and know where His words are by looking at history, how His words have been preserved. We find His words being preserved today for us in the Hebrew and Greek scriptures that underlie the Reformation Bibles that can be traced back to the first century, to the days of the Church Fathers and the days of the Reformation. These same words that God has preserved wrought a great reformation in the Church, so that the Church was brought out from the false Church, the Roman Church. So we believe that the just shall live by faith. Salvation is by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, based on Scripture alone. So the verbal plenary inspiration and preservation of Scriptures. Verbal means every word. Plenary means all, whole, or complete. So all the words of God are completely inspired and preserved for us throughout the generations, continuously. God's people had always had His word, and we have His word today, right, in our hands. And we know where His words are, so that we might live by His every word. Psalm 12, 6-7 teaches this doctrine. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them, His words, from this generation forever. So you don't have to find, you don't have to seek the Word of God. The Word of God has always been there. It's never been lost and found. It's always there, always existing, and identified and recognized by the faithful believers, by the Church of God. The Gospel of Judas cannot be true because God could not have allowed, if the Judas Gospel was a true Gospel, God would not have allowed the Gospel to remain hidden and lost for so many centuries, only to be found 1,700 years later, and then here's the truth. And how about all those living in the past? All the centuries in the past, you mean they had no knowledge of the true Gospel? And this only proves that Judas is not the true Gospel at all. It has been rejected, been thrown out, and lost, right, for all these centuries, only to be uncovered today, and Satan is all out to attack the Word of God. Something new is produced, and now this Judas Gospel and all the Gnostic Gospels must replace the Gospels in the Bible. No. In the days of Reformation, the Reformation did not begin with the Gospel of Judas or the Gospel of Thomas or any of these Gnostic Gospels, but the very Gospels that we have in our hands today. And we know these Gospels are true because they are powerful. They are alive. And we have tasted the perfection and the sweetness and the goodness of God's Word in our lives. And that's why we know that we have the words of God, not the Judas Gospel. You read the Judas Gospel, you get more confused, more disturbed. All right? And you cannot find the truth. No lives will be changed for the better through the Judas Gospel, but for the worse. So beware. Now, even then, we find that in the Gospel of Judas, which was a document written in the 2nd century AD, right? In those days when the Judas Gospel was being written, the four Gospels already existed. The church had already received them as the very Word of God, believed on. And the Christians in those days, when the Gospel of Judas came out, already warned, all right, the church, fellow believers, this is a spurious and a false gospel. And so you have Irenaeus. Irenaeus was a bishop of Lyon, and he already exposed the falsehood of the Gospel of Judas in his writings way back, all right, in AD 180. And already even in those days, Irenaeus identified for us where the true Gospels are, and he represented the thinking and the sentiments of the faithful church in those days. And he says there are only four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, written by Matthew, the tax collector, was Jesus' disciple. And Mark wrote a Gospel which was actually Peter's Gospel. And then you have Luke, which was the Gospel of Paul, that came from Paul. And then you have John, the beloved disciple of the Lord, who wrote his Gospel, all right, in Ephesus. So you have the four Gospels already received and fixed, even before the Gospel of Judas was written. And when the Gospel of Judas was written, Irenaeus already, all right, exposed it as a heretical gospel, not to be accepted, but to be rejected. But you have the modernists today who do not believe in Jesus Christ, in the miracles of the Bible, and say, oh, that is the true gospel. Now, that is deception, that is a lie, and let us not believe in this lie. Another reason why we know that the four gospels in the Bible are true, and not the Gnostic gospels of Judas and of Thomas and so on, is because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John fulfilled, right, all the prophecies concerning the Messiah, concerning Christ, that are found in the Old Testament. Now, nobody can deny that the Old Testament was written before the Gospels, before even the Gospel of Judas, right? It was written years back. And in the Old Testament, we find over 300 prophecies about the first coming of Christ. For example, that Jesus will be born of a virgin. He will be Emmanuel, God with us. That his place of birth was even prophesied as Bethlehem in Micah 5 verse 2. Way before Jesus came. And Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies to the jot and tittle. And all these were recorded for us truthfully, accurately, by the gospel writers in our four gospels. And that's why we know these Gospels are true, because they fulfill completely, precisely, exactly what the Old Testament has predicted about Christ, who he was, and what he came to do. But in the Gospel of Judas, it contradicts all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And so Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And we know that this word that we read from, this word that we hold in our hands, are the true words of God because of the supernatural nature of this book, because there are so many prophecies that were spoken in time past, hundreds and thousands of years before it actually happened, and they all happened, every one of them, fulfilled to the last minutest detail and degree. Okay? But not so, right, with this Gnostic Gospels. And there are many other prophecies concerning Christ's second coming. And all these must be fulfilled and will be fulfilled in due time. And I would urge you, if you can, come and study about prophecy in our Daily Vocation Bible College in a couple of weeks' time. And Dr. Pauli Tan will lecture. Okay? And we know also that the Gospel of Judas is not authentic and not genuine, not true, because when you look at all the Gnostic Gospels and put them together, they contradict one another. I'll give you one example. The Gospel of Thomas. In these Gnostic Gospels, you find very strange and bizarre stories about Christ. In the Gospel of Thomas, which also begins like this, you know, the secret account. Just like the Gospel of Judas, a secret account. Well, what is one such secret account? Well, there was one account, and I think the ladies in our midst might become angry with this. There's a story that says, that goes like this. Well, the disciples brought Mary Magdalene to Jesus. And they told Jesus, you know, this is Mary Magdalene, and we have a problem. Problem is, no woman can enter into heaven. And Mary Magdalene is a woman. And no woman can enter into heaven. And Jesus says, don't worry. I will change her and turn her into a man. Then she can go to heaven. Right? That is found in the Gospel of Thomas. Is this the truth? Is this from God? We who have the Spirit of God in our hearts, we who have the truth in our hands, know that these are all invented stories. Right? They are totally false and fictitious, spurious. And they even contradict each other, because in the Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown, Gnostic Gospels, all right, it's presented that Jesus married Mary Magdalene, right? Jesus married Magdalene. Jesus turned Mary into a man and married her or him. Whole lot of contradiction. Spurious, false Gospels. And that's why the church in the beginning rejected already these Gnostic Gospels. And in the Judas Gospel, it cannot qualify as an authentic and true text because it does not fulfill Jesus' criterion of verbal authenticity to the jot and tittle. Matthew 5:18, Jesus says, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. In the Gospel of Judas, we find a lot of missing words, all right, and missing verses. A lot of words are lost. And we know that the true gospel, the true words of God are never lost. And we know where the truth is, the true gospel is, when we know that the text is fully preserved to the last jot and tittle, as Jesus promised. And in our gospels, there are no missing words, right? No missing verses. The word of God has been preserved intact, but in the gospel of Judas, if it was a true gospel, then it has reached us in a very, very sorry state, because there are many words missing. And in the text, you find that the translators who translated the Gospel of Judas many a time had to fill in all these gaps, because the words have been missing, lost already, because there are all these broken, all right, patches in the papyrus. Words are missing, words are lost, and then they have to guess at what the words were and fill in the blanks. And then throughout the Gospel of Judas, you find such remarks as, you know, in brackets, one line missing, one line lost, about five lines missing, and this found all over the text. And this is another evidence that this word is not true and authentic, because it is not a text that is preserved, intact and completely, according to Jesus' promise. Jesus says, my words, my true words will always be preserved, and you will always have my words. And that's why in the Bible that has reached us today, do not have any missing words. We don't have to guess at God's words. We have all of God's words. They have been preserved exactly, and they have come to us intact, and we have all the words of God today. Right? So please take note of this. God has kept His words intact by His singular care and providence. And this is one evidence why, and one proof why the word that we have right now in our hands, not the Gnostic Gospels, but this word that we have in our hands today, are the very words of God. So may the Lord help us to believe in His word. And let us not be shaken in our faith. Let us not doubt and question our Lord and Savior and the Holy Scriptures that we have in our hands today. More and more such attacks will come. All right? Christ will continually be attacked. The word of our God, the Holy Scriptures that we have in our hands today, will also be questioned and be undermined. And the spirit of the Antichrist is very strong today. And no doubt we are living in the end times. And the stage is really being set for the Antichrist, the final world ruler and dictator who will set himself up as God, right, to come and to be accepted by the whole world and to dethrone Christ, who is truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let us not, be deceived by the Antichrist spirit that fills this world and this earth today. But let us redirect our hearts and our thoughts and our feelings to our Lord and Savior, who has saved us from our sins, and trust Him in His words and keep His commandments and be ready, right, for the Lord when He returns to take us home. This is our hope. And our hope comes from our faith in the forever infallible and inerrant Word of God. These are the days of deformation, not reformation. And so let us stick as close to the reformation as possible. The reformation gospel, which is salvation by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, based on scripture alone. The reformation Bible, which is the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek Textus Receptus, the Hebrew and Greek words that are behind our time-tested and time-honored good old version of the Bible, which is the King James Bible. Let's stick to it. And the Lord will surely save us to the very end. None of us will lose our salvation. Those who have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ will be protected, will be preserved by God to the very end. We have a very powerful God, and our all-powerful God, who has preserved His words, every one of His words from the beginning right down till today, will be sure to preserve every one of His children right down to the very end. So all these attacks from the devil will not affect us. We cannot take away our salvation. And those of us who are truly children of God, the sheep of God, will be able always to recognize the voice of our Savior and will follow Him. And He will lead us to green pastures, right? And lead us home one day. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the good news we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is in the canonical Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yea, even the whole Bible, the 66 books of the Bible that we have in our possession today. Indeed, we have the infallible, inerrant, perfect Word of God. And we trust in this Word. And help us, Lord, to believe, to have faith in Thy Word. And surely You will lead us home and You will guide us into all truth. We thank Thee, Lord, for this hope that we have, a true hope in Jesus Christ. For it is in His name we pray. Amen.